Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We have mourned the passing of many members of the civil rights movement during the past weeks and months and certainly years. Just yesterday, a civil rights activist, Dorothy Height, passed away at the age of 98. Dr. Benjamin Hooks, former NAACP director, passed away last week at the age of 85.
Witnesses to history.
Absolute eyewitnesses.
When that moment passes, when those eyewitnesses are gone, whether it's a war or anything, it's an unmistakable historical shift.
And it's irreplaceable.
Right.
And I think about this all the time. My grandfather was a composer, William Grant Still. He was the dean of African American composers. And I'm the youngest in my family. And I sometimes think I'm the last of the generation that actually knew him personally. And I feel the ticking of that clock. I feel the pressure to share the story of his life while I still can. And I have to imagine that that's how many of these civil rights leaders feel as the years turn. So we are joined by two of them. Again, Dr. Roscoe Brown joins us, former Tuskegee Airmen Squadron commander, Emmy Award-winning television host, also founder of the African American Affairs Department at New York University, and Mr. Charles Evers, civil rights activist. Welcome back to the program.
Good to be back.
So here we are in 2010. So many of these leaders and activists from the civil rights movement are passing on. Charles Evers, let me begin with you. Do you feel the clock ticking? Is the time window narrowing for us to really learn something firsthand about what happened in the 1950s and 60s?
Well, you're right on time. Naturally, when you get 87 years old, you begin to realize how long, how much longer, because it's just a matter of time. We know that. But it's been just been good to be here and to be able to do what you've done, along with many others. And we knew all the time that we're going to leave here sooner or later.
Dr. Brown, do you feel that there are things that you still haven't been able to communicate or that we still haven't fully learned?
Definitely. One of the things about change, you have to put change in perspective. And with the things having changed so that segregation is not here, people tend to forget that we still have lack of opportunity. The average income of the average black family is only about 60% of the average white family. And until we get to the point where it's 100%, we still have a challenge. And that's one of our jobs, to take this history, to take the lessons of these icons and translate them to a younger generation so that they can start the strategy to bring about full opportunity.
Charles Evers, let me ask you, I mentioned my grandfather who was an American composer, but when I try to talk to my 10-year-old son about him and some of the struggles he had to overcome, my son looks at me and says, that's like 100 years ago. Why are you telling me about this? And I'm wondering, what kind of things would you say to him or to other young people when you're trying to help them understand?
You know, that's one thing that we must do. And that's going to be up to us, African-Americans or Negroes, whatever we may be on that call now, is to explain to our young people what it used to be and what it is today and the price that was paid to get us to where we are today. And somehow or another, history has missed that. And it's up to us as a black race that just began now, teaching our youngsters what it was like, how we got here, and what it shouldn't ever be like anymore. But it's up to them.
Dr. Brown, what do you think you would say if you were faced with my son or another young person who feels like that's completely removed?
I would say that every generation has its challenges. It's good to look back to see how that generation met those challenges, but then to see what your obligation is. The obligation of African-American youth today is to focus on education, to focus on the opportunity that we have given them. And with that type of context, I think that'll bring back why we talk about this.
You know, you alluded to a challenge. It's not just for African-American youth either. I was asking my 11-year-old daughters last night, Dr. Brown, about who's your favorite figure from the one that means the most to you from the civil rights movement. And she said right off the top, Rosa Parks. And I said to her, you know, your youngest sister, 8-year-old Regan, she's more interested in Harriet Tubman. And my 11-year-old said to me, Dad, Harriet Tubman is not from the civil rights movement, okay? So she has a real precise sense of history. But what does it take to pull that history out and translate it into a quest for social justice in our time?
But I think you have to focus on things that happen today. For example, the situation in Haiti gives us an opportunity to talk about why Haiti was treated the way they were treated, and then what we can do to try to help, because everybody has a responsibility to look to the future.
Charles Evers, let me ask you, in some ways, if our kids and grandkids don't fully feel the same injustices that were felt during the civil rights movement in the 1950s or 60s, if they don't truly get what their ancestors went through, isn't that a sign of progress that we have won some of those battles and the next generation can move on?
Well, we have to instill that into them. And let's thank God they don't have to go through what we went through. But as the gentleman was saying just now, we must instill it into them. We must continue to teach our youngsters, as the Jewish people teach the Jewish people and the Italian teach the Italian, what it has been, what it is today, and their responsibility. And that we didn't just get here just by getting here. Someone made it possible. And the suffering and the sacrifice that we went on and during Jim Crow days when we couldn't vote, we couldn't go to the best schools, we couldn't go to the restaurants, we couldn't go to movies, that was because of the way it was. It's not that we're not. And they must become educated. They must become enlightened, and they must carry on.
Let me play for you a bit of something that Senator Harris Wolford had to say. He was an early supporter of the civil rights movement in the South. He's 84 years old now, and here's what he had to say.
The raw materials are there. A lot of us are dropping by the wayside. But John Lewis's words, Martin Luther King's words, teachers should realize that textbooks are very secondary in getting this story. The basic words, the true documents, are there to be had.
That's former Senator Harris Wolford. Dr. Brown, how do you feel about that? Have you set down what you need to in terms of your words, your true documents?
I think I've done a lot of it, particularly those of us in Tuskegee Airmen. But the fact is there are plenty of opportunities every day to take the indignities that occur in everyday society and use the examples of the past to show how we met those indignities.
And Charles Evers, do you feel that you have left behind the messages you need to for the next generation?
Not really. Let's be honest about it. At my age, all we knew was to do what we thought was the right thing to do to make sure that our children and grandchildren wouldn't have to go through it. Now, if we left the message, I don't know.
Okay, Charles Evers, civil rights activist, 87-year-old, brother of the late Medgar Evers and Dr. Roscoe Brown, civil rights activist, former Tuskegee Airmen Squadron commander.
Let it shine. Let it shine.